In this thing that we call life, this journey,
all right now,
it makes no difference who you are, where you are. At some point, someone disrespected you. Not only do people disrespect us,
all right now,
but they begin to look at us and begin to look at our situation and our circumstance.
Right.
And sometimes people will try to treat you where you are.
All right now.
But I'm more than where I am.
I'm more than what you see.
Because what I'm going through, that doesn't change who I am.
Right.
More importantly, whom I am. I'm still a child of God.
Yes.
And though I'm going through something, and you see the worst in me, God sees the best in me. I said, God sees the best in you. And He sees the best in us when we can't even see it. And so when we begin to go through life and situations and circumstances begin to happen, people sometimes will dismiss you. They'll count you out. They'll look at where you are and say, you're through. There's no way possible that he can bounce back from this. Oh, she's pregnant and she's only 10 or she's 12. Her whole life is done. Or, oh, he just dropped out of school and he was arrested, so there's no help for him. You see, when people begin to count you out, God began to count on you to be used by him. And so every time they say what you can't do, where you can't go, and what you can't have, God is saying, and I'm going to make you a liar. I'm going to show you what I can do with a humble being. So everything that we go through is so that God can bring us closer to him. Now, I know when we refer to God, we always refer to a God that is up there. But what we have to understand is God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. And what I'm discovering in my life is that most of the time when you're looking for God, don't look up, look down. Put your face on the floor and spend some time with him in prayer. You will be amazed at how God will show up when you humble yourself and say, God, I can't do anything else. Here I am to worship you. Here I am to pray for you. Here I am to praise your holy name. When we surrender to God, then God says, now you're in a position to receive me. Now the story that we deal with this morning is the story of a man that has been lame since his mother's womb. Now there's another story in the Bible where it says, now who did sin? Did the man sin? Did his parents sin? Who did sin? And God says, nobody sinned. I allowed it to happen for my glory. What you're going through is for his glory. You're just riding through. I know it's a storm, but you need to learn how to be a seasoned sailor. That is, when you're out in the water and the waves get really, really bad, I've been here before. I know God will make a way out of no way. I know he's going to get me through. He's done it before. I'm just going to sail through this thing. I don't have to worry about the winds and the waves. I don't have to worry about what they say, what they doing, what they plotting. All I need to be concerned about is I'm in his care. If I'm in his care, he's abiding in me and I'm abiding in him. Everything's going to be all right. So sometimes God takes us through some stuff. And as God begins to take us through, understand this is not your battle. It's the Lord. It doesn't have anything to do with you. I know ego, arrogance, and everything else would say that person did this to me. The truth of the matter is God let it all happen. I know you were praying about it, and he still let it all happen. Well, God, how can you be a loving God and you allow that to happen to me? Because I want to show somebody, when they count you out, I'm going to bring you through. I want to show somebody who marked you off and say you'll never have, never be able to do. I want to show that person particularly what I can do with you if you humble yourself to me. So this man, he's lame. Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday, they'll bring him to church, drop him off at the front of the church, not to go in the church so that God can change him, but to stay outside and beg for money. Now that's an awful picture, isn't it? That's an awful thing, isn't it? Where you come to church, but no church get in you. That's an awful thing when God tells you that if you cast all your cares upon him, for he cares, he loves us, but we won't do that. We'll hold on to the thing. Isn't there an awful thing when you come to church, hold on to the hatred, grudge, and unforgiveness in the church, and then walk out the church and say, God, why didn't you change that situation? See, we think something is wrong with God. And God is saying, no, something is wrong with you. Because if you trust me, you'll understand I'll make your enemies your footstool. If you trust me, I know what your bank account is saying, but I promise to supply all of your needs. If you trust me, I know how to let you find a man. I know how to let you find a woman. If you trust me. But when you find yourself going through and you don't trust God, it's saying that God, you can't do this.
What you say?
No, God, not you. You can't do this. Because I find myself in a situation and I'm just stuck. And there is no help for me. This man found himself in a hopeless situation. When you think that you're in a hopeless situation, that is indeed the best place to be. Because when I feel like it's hopeless, you can't knock me down any further. So what if you tell another lie? It doesn't hurt like the first one. And so if I find myself knocked out of a situation, I know the God that I serve is a get you up resurrecting God. So I may be down today, but don't count me out, because you'll see me and deal with me again tomorrow. I'm coming up and out of this thing. See, you children of God, that's why your situation can't hold you back. That's why nobody can hold you back. That's why you keep getting up week after week, battle after battle, water after water. Because you can be stopped. And so what Satan does is he put another trap in your way. Yeah, you're going to church. But you come to church and you're fixing your eyes on the wrong thing. You're looking at what man, John and Peter and James can do to you. You better begin to look at the God that makes ways out of no way. You better begin to look at the Lord and understand that all of my help comes from the Lord. He may have used you as a vessel, but I don't owe you a praise. I owe it all to him. He may have used you to get it through me, but my worship goes to him, not to you. See, a man does something for you, then you got to praise him. But when you understand God brought me out, I owe him all the praise. they bring him to church and they sit him in the parking lot. You sit right here because all the traffic is going to come over here. And so they position him so that he can beg for money. My issue, y'all, just let me deal with this. My issue with the Bible sometimes is that it doesn't tell everything. So I wonder in my sanctified mind, who brought him to church? I'm just wondering. I'm wondering, Jeff, what was their cut for dropping him off outside instead of trying to get him inside and get closer to Jesus? I'm just thinking like that. See, because a lot of us come to church, but our motives are wrong. Because if you are single, God, there's a lot of women in the church. If you're a single woman, there's some guys in the church. I already know that he's saved. So sometimes we come to church to see what you gonna wear. To see whether or not, I saw her last night dancing. I just want to see if she have the audacity to come to church today. Baby, you better be the first one in church. That's your place. See, because that's why Jesus died. He died for old wretched sinners like me, like you. Are y'all good folks? Y'all alright? I wish I had 50 wretched folks like me in this place that don't mind giving God some praise this morning. I wish I had 50 folks like me that got some issues in their life and being real about it. So they bring him to church and they park him in the parking lot. So there he is sitting next to the Chevy. He got his little chair. And I can only imagine that they got his little wheelchair all set up nice. And back in the biblical days, they didn't have no rims on that. You know them round big old piece of wood. You see how Moses came through the wilderness. You know, I just can't imagine. And then, you know, he's sitting there in his chair all comfortable, just waiting on folks to just sow into him. Because he's a bad situation. He's a hopeless situation. And you know, if you run around here telling folks how bad your situation is and that it'll never change and you hopeless, do you know if you keep saying that, then people begin to deal with you like that? You know why they don't respect me? Because you don't respect you. That's why. And so what we have to learn is that we have to see ourselves as God sees us. God did not create any junk at all. Now, when he created you, he had purpose in mind. Now, your purpose is not my purpose. Your thing is not my thing. The way that you float won't be the way that I float. But if you do you and stay up out of mind and let me do me, we'll be all right. Here it is, this man, he's lame. Now understand this point. To see my struggle is to know my strength. To see my struggle is to know my strength. So what you see me going through, it's not weakness, it's making me strong. And so here you come, fool, in the midst of me going through something. Because you think I'm weak. But the truth of the matter is, I've never been closer to God than when I'm going through something. And so you come and attack me the world. You got to understand, to see my struggle is to know my strength. And so this man is lame, and everybody just kind of writes him off. And every day they would lay him at the gate. Watch this. I may look simple to you, but I'm loaded with spirituality. In the naked eye, oh, that's just Jeff. He's been in the wheelchair all his life. So he's just a simple man. Every day, every Sunday, they roll him to church. And that's how simple his life is. What they overlook is the spirit man that is inside of him. See, the spirit man is the anointing that is inside of him. See, that's why the Bible says that, you know, you're not dealing with flesh and blood.
That's right. That's right.
It's principality.
Yes.
It's spirit. And in high places. You keep trying to talk to Satan thinking he's going to go away. He's not going to go away. You got to put your feet on him. You got to knock the you-know-what out of him. Because the Bible says now you got to resist him. And when you begin to resist, the Bible says then he'll flee. Isn't that like a punk? Talk real bad until you say, I'm not going to deal with that no more. I'm ready to fight. And then they say, I was just joking. Oh, baby, you got me started when you touched my child. You got me started when you touched my bank account. You got me started when they lied on me. You thought you were, come on in, let's fight. But I'm going to tear you up. This is your thing. And so the man comes, and he's expecting from man a material failure. Watch this. God will take your sub and make it super. God, your sub, a negative bank account. And it looks real bad. But I remember before it hit zero, I sowed a seed somewhere. And if there is a seed time, there must be a harvest. So it's coming up again. And it's not predicated on where I work and my check. Because my needs come from him. According to his riches. I may run out, but he can't run out. So I got to keep my head in the almighty hand. Because I know that he'll deliver me. Have you ever been down and out on your last? Won't God deliver you out of some stuff? I'm coming out to build past due, past 2 weeks, and God still would deliver you. Won't God do that for you? He's that kind of God. See, that's how God works. And we get happy and excited about that kind of God. But you know the God that I love? It's the God of the overflow. I'm talking about when there's enough in your account that you can do some extra stuff and still be a blessing for somebody else. I refuse to say about my checking account, it's just enough in there. God, thank you, that thing overflowing. In the midst of what I'm going through, in the midst of what I've been through, it's still there. I'm not talking about me, I'm talking about my dad. Y'all don't shout about that. But you don't believe God. You don't believe if you give him a tenth, he'll open up the window. You don't believe that. You don't believe if you pray for the God. In the midst of a tight time, he'll give you a breakthrough. You don't believe that. You don't believe when you're going through something. He's the God of an overflow. You got extra stuff, and you don't even know what to do with it. We gotta stop coming to church. Oh, he meet my needs. I don't want you to meet my needs.
Amen.
I got a budget to meet a need. I want you to give me an overflow. You came, you said, I came that you may have life and have it more abundant. Give me an overflow. Make me shout on that one, God. Here's my tip. Let me break some stuff financially this morning. said he would do. You just gotta trust God. Here's this man, he come, and he's expecting man to do for him. Whatever man can do for you, man can take it away from you. Whatever man gives you, he can take that thing away. But when God bless you, it's not going anywhere. Not a place. God has the power to put you in a place, and then what you thought you needed, He'll send someone to supply all of your needs. God will put you in a place where you forgot about the bank account that you opened a couple years ago, or you hid some money from Him, but you really hid it from yourself, and God slides you back there when you really need it. And so every day he's sitting there. And so because he's sitting there, watch this. He came close to the church, but he never allowed church to come close to him. So he came. And so in the process of coming, he was sitting out there doing his thing. What he didn't know was somebody was sitting in here doing their thing. In the midst of you going through something, somebody's praying for you. In the midst of you going through something, see, that's why when you look at intercessory prayer, you need to begin to thank God for those that are interceding for you. You need to thank God for those that come to 8 o'clock on Sunday morning and fall down on this place and pray that God's word is released. Pray that you release. You need to thank God for those that are interceding on your part. So he was sitting outside of the church, and the folk inside of the church began to pray for him. Then all of a sudden, here comes two church folk. And he looks at them expecting to get something. And they say, silver and gold have I not. I don't have this earthly stuff. I love the choice of words. He says, silver and gold have I not. The implication is that it doesn't have me either. Now that was the most powerful thing in my church today. That it doesn't have him either. See, when you begin to seek after stuff, it has you. When you begin to, I need this and I gotta get this, and you begin to accumulate all of this stuff, you have to be careful that you're not trying to serve God and man. I'm not saying don't have stuff. I'm saying at no point should the stuff have you. Never become so connected with your stuff that it disconnect you from your Savior. We sing and we say, God, I want more of you. See, sometimes in getting more of God, initially God take all your stuff. And you say, God, you're going in the wrong direction. That's not what I was praying for. I said more, not less. But God is saying, in order for you to get more of me, we got to get rid of some of this other stuff. And so God begins to strip this stuff and that stuff. And by the way, that friend and that friend. And he begins to strip stuff out of your life. And as God begins to strip stuff out of your life, you become confused because God is not doing it the way that you told him to do it. But he says, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts in the church.
But they're higher.
Now, I know what I'm doing. I know where I'm taking
you. Stay in your mind.
Can you ride? Just trust me. I don't want to be your co-pilot.
My God.
I want to drive. Can I drive? Do you trust me? And so he takes you first, not into the green pasture. He passed by that one going 99 miles an hour, and he takes you to the valley. That's not what I asked you for, God. You passed. No, why didn't we stop back there? And so he takes you to the valley.
That's right.
It's in the valley.
It's in the valley.
Where it's cold. And it's dark. And it's lonely. And God is saying, but I want you to get to know me. If you find me in this valley, I'll take you to the top of the mountain. But you got to find me in low places. When you find me down here, you won't give man the credit when I elevate you. If you find me down here, when I pull you up, you'll say nobody but Jesus. If I find you in the valley, when I do the lifting in your life, you'll never go back to the one that had you tied up, had you tangled up. You'll never go back to the stuff that had you all tied up, all tangled up. Isn't it an amazing thing when God sets you free and the stuff that you used to need, you don't need them anymore? And isn't it a wonderful thing when God delivers you? You remember when you used to have a drink just to talk to somebody, go in the club, and your brain just wasn't saying nothing to the girl till you got your drink on? Isn't it amazing stuff when you have to have a cigarette to calm down the nerves? Anything other than that, you can't eat, you shaking. But isn't it a wonderful, wonderful thing when God removes all that stuff and all I really need is Him? I don't need the pill bottle anymore. I don't need the alcohol anymore. I don't need the drugs anymore. All I need is more of you. Not another pair of shoes. All I want is you. Not another suit. All I want is you. Not another dollar in this account. All I want is you. So I'm going to seek thee first, the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness. All the other stuff. He said, baby, I have that for you. That ain't nothing what you asking for. That ain't nothing that you. Do you know who I am? I am God the Creator. What you asking for? Nothing. Do you know who I am? I hung the stars. Do you know who I am? What you asking for is nothing. Do you know me? I make the water that comes in from the ocean stop right here. Do you know me? Have I not?
Yes, God. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
That which I have, I don't have material stuff.
Yes, Lord.
And it doesn't have me. But that which I have, I share that with you. See, because what they were wise enough to understand is that all they had was by the grace of God. By the grace of God. See, grace comes in the form of a gift. To understand what you have, you didn't earn it. No, really. Step down off your high horse. No, really. Come on down. Because you know, you can't meet that mortgage payment on $15 an hour. I'm sorry, $7, $8 an hour. You know you can't do it. So He's gracing you right there. Because He says, I knew where I was taking you, and I've already made the way clear for you. And those that rise up against you, if they're not careful, I'll let them make the payment for you. That's the kind of God that I am. When people don't like you, but they're still blessing you. When people lying on you, but they're still sowing into your life. Because they see the anointing that is upon your life. And you have to understand, the anointing is on your life when you're in the gutter. When you're in the wheelchair. When you're in the valley. When you're on the back of the mountain. The anointing is always there.
Thank you, Lord.
And so He says,
thank you, Lord.
He says to him, just words, he says. What I love about this story in closing, is that he did not say to him, God told me to tell you to sow into this wonderful ministry, and then God will say to you, rise up and walk. He said none of that. He simply said to him, rise up. Now walk. Just get up. Just get up. But I've been sitting here over 40 years. And here comes some preacher. Come on, just get up. No, I'll fall. No. Not in my name. You see it in verse number 6? In the name of Jesus. Not Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth. He says, do it in Jesus' name. I'm talking to somebody here this morning. You tried it in your name. Now do it again in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Do you feel the power in Jesus' name? Do you feel the release in Jesus' name? Do you feel the deliverance in Jesus' name? Do you feel the salvation in Jesus' name? Going through something, you gotta put the word on it in Jesus' name. He says, just rise up. Because you see where I am. Don't be crazy. I'm not my situation. Nor am I a trash can for you to dump. That ain't me. See, respect is something that was never given. You got to earn that. And so God is saying, if you want to earn it in the kingdom of God, let go. I know it's opposite in the world. In the world, you got to work it. But you have to understand, in the kingdom, your faith works it. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. So faith does move mountains. Faith does change my checking account. Faith does heal your body. Faith does bring your child home. Faith does give your child protection in school. That is faith in God. And he says, but there's one way for mankind to please me. And that is through faith. It is impossible for you to please God without faith. You don't have to go out and buy it. No one has to give it to you. Faith cometh but by the hearing of the word. Words increase your faith. It's the words that give you strength. Makes you get up. Try something different. Try something new. And for somebody here, go back to something that you tried before, but you tried it based on your resume, your business plan, your connections, your friends. Go back and do it again in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. And begin to call his name before you get there. And every crooked place, he'll sidestep you. Oh, I see the ditch that you tried to dig. I'm not falling there. Because I'm walking this thing in the name of Jesus. And the Bible declares that he'll order your steps. And the steps of a good man or woman is ordered by the Lord. You gotta walk this thing out. You gotta walk it out. And it's not a physical walk. It's a spiritual thing. The walk has nothing to do with your body moving. It has to do with your spirit. Is your spirit moving? Am I talking to you? Do I trust you? Am I surrendering? Don't count me out. Don't you count me out. Don't you look at my situation or my circumstance and label me. I'll make a fool out of you in Jesus' name. Don't let people force you in that box. Don't you conform.
My God.
The Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In other words, I receive the word, and now I think different because I got another word. I was here when that was the only word that I know. So Sunday after Sunday, when you come to church, you get a new word. Every week, every round, higher and higher. Have you been blessed this morning?